B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Supposed to be pretty good.
Yep, that's the first time I ever heard about it. It was, back in the middle 90s, you heard this rumor that Joe Bryant was going to become an assistant at LaSalle. I think I might have had to make some phone calls about it for the paper, seriously. And you know, like, really? What? Joe Bryant, he's just going to get out and start coaching? At that time, you didn't know. And then the tie-in came about. Well, he's got this son that's pretty good. And then that's the first I heard of Kobe, probably 95-ish. Or earlier than that, before he, 94, 95. And that's when, the name Kobe stuck in my head a little bit.
He is one of those people that you just say Kobe. You say the first name. If you're just that guy, you can just say Kobe. Like, everyone knows. Everyone knows what you're talking about or who you're talking about. 610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5, the Fanatic WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. 9 o'clock hour is brought to you by The Bagster. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com. On the line with us right now, right here from 97.5, the Fanatic, our own D. Lynam joins us. D, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Dee, where were you when you found out about the news with Kobe Bryant?
I was at a local establishment having brunch.
When you think back to that 2001 finals run, I know a lot of people will go back to the days of Lower Marion, but what really jumps out to you when you think back to 2001 Sixers-Lakers?
Honestly, I don't think about that the same way that some other people do. I mean, I remember being at the game that they won in Los Angeles. And for me, that 2001 was more about the Sixers than it was about Kobe and Shaq. Mm-hmm. And that was just because of my role that I played as a sideline reporter, and I had worked for TNT that year covering the NBA playoffs. And so that really was a lot about, I think, Iverson more than I think Kobe for that particular playoff series.
When you look back on Kobe's career and even the brief retirement he got to enjoy, what really comes to mind when you think about the career that he had?
Fiercely competitive, definitely. I always enjoyed when I had, we don't have a lot of one-on-one opportunities with these people, but Kobe was a person who, when you went to shoot around, always gave you time. And I was telling somebody this morning, trying to get your microphone in there was always difficult because everybody always wanted to talk to him. But one of my favorite things was his fourth time he was on the Olympic team, and I went down to cover an exhibition game in Washington, D.C., and everybody was talking to everybody else, and he was sitting taking his sneakers off at the end of a practice, and he's like, "Look at me, D, I'm an old head." I appreciate probably those kinds of things later in his career. I don't know if people know, but his first agent was Arne Tellem, and Arne actually hired me out of college. And so Arne Tellem, and then his first sneaker deal was with Adidas, and that was Sonny Vaccaro. And I had worked, now I'm really aging myself, the 84 Olympics, and I lived with Sonny Vaccaro and his wife. When I got to work, I was a high school kid working the Olympics. So I knew Kobe, or like as he's going to be drafted and whatnot, I knew of him through Arne and Sonny before I ever got to cover him as a player in the league.
Okay. When you heard about this kid at Lower Marion, when was the first you really heard about him making noise?
Well, see, that's the funny thing. I wasn't living here when Kobe was a high school kid, mm-hmm. and I had not gone to high school here myself. I had gone to high school in Portland, Oregon. So, like, I come back here in 1997, and, Lower Marion, in fairness, I didn't know Lower Marion High School. I didn't know Lower Marion in terms of living in this area, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. Obviously, what I do know is as Kobe got bigger and bigger, he would come back to Lower Marion and not tell anybody he was in Philadelphia, and he would just show up at his high school. And we were always pissed because, if you work at Comcast, and you don't have that story, and you find out later that he had been in town and you didn't cover that, you know, it was a big deal that you blew it.
Right, right, right.
Do you, of all the guys that we've seen in the NBA and that you've covered in the NBA, where does Kobe rank as far as that fierce competitiveness that you've talked about? And maybe who are some of the others that are comparable?
Well, obviously, Jordan for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe for sure. I put Iverson in there because, you know, when you see him every day, you know, statistically, those guys might be made higher percentages, but like putting it all on the line, wanting to have the last shot, you know, those three are my first three that come to mind. Obviously, I didn't cover, if you go back in time, a Wilt, and I probably don't give the same credit to the big guys like Shaq, but, you know, guys who want the ball in their hands. I mean, for me, it's MJ, it's Kobe, it's Iverson, it's LeBron. I probably, you know, now we know the Russell Westbrooks of the world. I didn't really get a chance to cover Harden as much as what we see now. But I would say those first four, Bob, for me.
Yeah.
Speaking with D-Line, what do you think Kobe's legacy will be? Because we watch a guy like Bill Russell, and he's always visiting, and he's obviously up there in age, and he's a guy that you always see around the NBA. And now it is almost like we get robbed of that future with Kobe and the NBA. So what do you think the lasting legacy will be in the league with Kobe?
Well, you're right, Mark. We are going to be gypped. And, I mean, I told somebody this morning, you know, I don't know, but last year I bought his books for my 12-year-old son. And because, one, you know, I want him to read. And, two, I'm like, if I can give him a book that he's going to enjoy. And then I said to him, like, if you read it, I'll read it. And so we both read the first one. But, you know, he was writing books for kids. You know, I loved watching him when he won his Oscar. Obviously, as a person who is a daughter of a man that I really admire, for me to watch him and his daughter watching games together, you know, that's, I was looking forward to watching her become a really amazing basketball player. I didn't ever get to know her as a person, but, you know, watching them take in a game and be analyzing and taking it down to its, like, bare bones, talking about it, you know, was, she would have been a hell of a player. I know that. You can go to YouTube and see. And I used to say in my house, too, like, I live in a house with three guys. And I say, you know, we get to hear about Bronny and D. Wade's kid. Like, where's Gigi's highlight? You know, I mean, it kind of pissed me off a little bit. And I'm like, you know, she's going to get her moment. So I think that he cared about being something beyond a Hall of Fame basketball player. And a lot of people aren't comfortable when they step away from the thing that made them great. And he seemed to me to be okay with stepping away into something different. And yes, we will be chipped. Mm.
I know one of the popular things that's come up on social media is that we're not going to hear Kobe Bryant's Hall of Fame induction speech. And I know that that's something that we'll all look back on, or we'll look at right now and think about getting robbed of that. But when you watch Kobe play, you, and maybe it's just me trying to justify it in the moment, but he was the definition of leaving it all out there on the court.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, you know, when I think it's when people, so you can watch all of yesterday unfold, and a lot of us, I don't know how you guys felt, but for me, I didn't think it was real.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hating social media in the moment because I thought the first rest in peace that I saw on Twitter was using a term for him getting passed in the career scoring standing
right
by LeBron. And I thought that it was somebody using a phrase irresponsibly.
Yeah.
But what then transpired as you become you know, this isn't fake, this isn't a horrible dream, that the outpouring of love from the people who played with, against him, it spoke volumes about, at least you, if you're watching from somewhere up above, that you know that you did it right for the 41, not saying you were perfect, I'm not saying that, but you made a lasting impression in a really big volume way for a lot of people.
Dee, I can't thank you enough for coming on with us, especially such short notice. I just appreciate you coming on, breaking it down with us, especially we're all talking about a personal connection with family, and you could certainly identify with one between you and your dad, and I appreciate you making that connection.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thanks, Dee.
You as well, Dee. Thanks very much. Dee Lynam joining us right there. And
that's, Yeah, the way it hits Dee is how it kind of hit me yesterday. As I said, one of the ways it hit me yesterday was ultimately when you break it down as a father of a 17-year-old girl, my God, he died taking her to a travel basketball game. How many times in my life, I'm talking right, all of us as commoners looking at a Kobe Bryant, how many times in our lives have we just mindlessly driven, taken our kids, granted he was in a helicopter, but taken our kids to a game. He was doing what we all do and will continue to do, and ultimately it took his life.
Now on the line with us, joining us, who can identify also with coaching his own kids, Mark Jackson from NBC Sports Philadelphia, former Sixer, played against Kobe. Mark, first off, thank you very much for coming on with us. I know yesterday was a really rough day for you, man.
Yeah, it was. It was a tough day. It's also a reminder, man, how short life is.
Absolutely. I know that you took part in an extra hug with some loved ones as well yesterday. I know you told the story yesterday, and you were coaching your son when you found out about Kobe?
Yes, I was coaching my Team Jackal 12-year-old team in a tournament in Neptune, New Jersey. At that time, I'm coaching in the middle of the beginning of the first half, and a lady at the scores table before that, my phone is ringing off the hook in my pocket on vibrate, and it's just ringing. And I'm just ignoring, but as it continued, persists for minutes on end, it's a steady ringing. I'm like, well, who is this? And I look at my phone, it's a lot of 310 area codes, a lot of 702 area codes. And I'm like, what? But a lot of them is from numbers I don't recognize. But then it kept, because I put it in my pocket, ignored it. But then it kept going on. And then I kept looking at a friend of mine named Rick Brunson, who we all know, Rick Brunson. Mm-hmm. I called him like six, seven times. I'm like, what? How Rick calling me like that? So the first thing I thought is those phone calls. And now Rick's calling me. I'm thinking something's up with Coach Chaney. So I answer in the middle of the game, like, what's up, Rick? He was like, I said, everything okay? He's like, well, what you doing? I said, I'm coaching my 12-year-old team. He said, now? I said, yes. He said, do me a favor. He said, he cracked the joke. He said, man, you supposed to answer your phone? And I said, yeah, but it kept ringing. He's like, do me a favor, man, turn off your phone. He said, don't hang it up, turn it off, and coach those kids and call me as soon as the game over. I'm like, all right. I said, anything okay? He's like, yeah, just turn off your phone, focus on the kids, and call me the game over. And I said, anything okay with coach? He's like, yeah, anything cool, coach. So I hung up my phone, and I'm back coaching. And then about 30 seconds later, the lady at the scores table said, oh my God, Kobe was just killed in a helicopter crash. And it kind of went over my head, and I looked at it, I didn't think none of it. So I just continued to coach. And about maybe 10, 15 seconds later, I mean, I just lied to this. I said, no. And I screamed no. And I looked at it, I said, what did you say? And I said it kind of aggressive.
Right.
Not towards it, but like, what did you say?
Right.
She's like, Kobe Bryant just died in a helicopter. I said, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? And she stood up and came to me and showed me her phone. And she showed me a form I'm reading. And then I had to sit down, and the assistant coach took over the game. And I just sat at the end of the bench. And he's like, do you want to go outside? I was like, no, let me sit here. And it's just, I was over. And, you know, so I was just overrun with emotion. And then at that point, I start picking up my phone, trying to call Joe and Pam, his mom and dad, and trying to see if it's true. And they're not answering. Then I call Sheree and Shea. His sisters, they're not answering. Then I call Mike, my best friend Mike, who I introduced to Shea, and they're married now. They're married for 10 years now, and I'm interested in calling him. He's not answering. So then I'm calling my wife. So they turn on the news. I just heard something. Tell me, you know, it's a fake news. And my wife's a realtor, and she was out showing house. She said, why? I said, it's important. She turned CNN. She said, she told me, and I said, all right, call you back. So then as I'm saying that, Mike calls me, and Mike is hysterical. He's calling me. I'm like, is it true? He's like, yes, it's true. And I'm like, who was with him? And he said, his daughter, it's his sister. And at that point, man, the emotions, and I just happened to look up. And on that side of the court, my son was in front of me playing, and the game was 12 years old. And then Mike was telling me where he was going and what was going on. And there was other people was with him, but nobody else from his family was there. And I just, it just hit so hard, man. It just hit so hard. And then as the game continued, I eventually composed myself, continue coaching the game. But as the game continued, it hit me. Because he was on his way to coach his daughter. He was on the way to coach his daughter, who's about 6 months older than my son. And I knew how important this stage of his life was to giving back to not just his daughter, but giving back to everybody or anybody who wanted to learn. Mm-hmm. And this is hard. This is hard.
Mark, we're speaking with Mark Jackson. And Mark, I just can't thank you enough for coming on with us today, especially after this news yesterday. I want to fast forward real quick because I do want to talk to you about when you first met Kobe, but you played him against him in the NBA enough times, and the common theme we've been hearing about Kobe Bryant, the player, was just competitor. When you talk about an ultimate competitor, you're talking about Kobe Bryant. What are your takeaways from being able to match up against a guy like that?
Well, you know, I've seen Kobe's transformation from 12 years old up to what he became. And he always was a different animal. He always was a different guy. And he wanted to be great. He wanted to be great. And he always put the time in alone without anyone telling him to, so he could be great. So I knew what he was in the court. I knew how determined he was. And it was interesting to me when I hear people complain, oh, Kobe's a little too much, he's a little over top. I'm like, no, he's just a champion. And he's been like that since he was 12 years old, since I first met him. And so I understood where he was at and what he was doing. And just to watch him continue that has just been remarkable.
Have you been able to get in touch at any point with anybody in the family?
Yes. I spoke to sisters and mom. And Joe, man, and it's hard right now.
Now Joe comes back, so we'll go back to the middle of this. Joe comes back from Italy with the family. Kobe's what, 11 or 12 years old, and all of a sudden you find yourself on the basketball court with a 11 or 12 year old Kobe Bryant when you're 14 or 15.
Yes. So when he came back, his father. I came back, and the next day they got some plays. His dad was in the gym with us with John Harnett, and it was on the phone and with it was in the gym with John Harnett, and he was one of my first coaches when I started getting into basketball, and we was teammates that were working out together ever since then. And it's just, that's when I first met him, and that's when we formed that bond, and we used to work out together, train together, and I tell the story about when I first met him at 12. When I first met him at 12, we were finished working out, and he would ice his knees. he would ice his knees, and he was 12. And I was like, that was a joke for me, get out of here. He's like, I said, why? And he said, because I want to have a long career. And he was 12. He wasn't 17, 18. He was 12. And that stuck with me. When my children as my own personal children became higher level basketball players around that same age, it was the same with me. I used to meet. So we'd be at tournaments. soon as their last game over, I'm putting ice in their knees. And people laughing, like, man, them kids too young for that. Huh? And they like, oh, my friends laughing. I'm like, let them laugh. We laughed at Kobe, too. And look how long he played. And so it's just, you know, he's left a lasting impression, not just on me, but on the world.
The thing is, when he went into Lower Merion and that legend started to grow, did you kind of, did you know really? I mean, at 12 years old, he's icing his knees, so you knew the guy was taking it serious. Then he goes to Lower Merion and the legend really, really starts to grow. When did you know he was going to get into the NBA and really become one of the greatest?
I had started having that feeling when he was about 14, 15. He was going into Lower Merion. He was going into Lower Merion and his summer of his ninth grade year. And a good friend of mine named Tony Jones, who writes for The Athletic, wrote a story today talking about when he first seen me and Kobe working out together, and Kobe was 14. And Kobe and I was practicing dunking on each other. And that's when I knew that summer, before he went to Lower Merion, I knew he was going to be something special. That, be honest, I knew he was going to be what he became. I didn't know about all that. But I knew he was going to be something special just because his determination to be great. And I felt as though he had the key things you need a lot of times to be successful in basketball. He not just had the drive. A lot of people have the drive, but he had the work ethic along that drive. And he also had genetics. He had a lot of his father's size. His mom was a competitive too, Pam. So he had a lot of it in him. So he had everything he needed to be successful, and he was just determined.
Mark, back in the day when he made that announcement, I'll never forget, he made it at Lower Merion, had the sunglasses on top of his head, and everybody's wondering, are you going pro? Is he going to Duke? What's he doing? And he says pro. I'm going pro. What were your thoughts back then, knowing him the way you did, knowing the NBA the way it was? Did you think he was ready? Did you think it was a smart decision at that time?
Well, it was the same thing. So once again, the life works in cycles, which means it was a cycle when he was 12, when he wasn't ready to play up or train with me and other guys at that age, but he got his teeth kicked in. And he really thrived on getting his teeth kicked in by older guys and stronger guys, understanding that he knew the outcome. Once he took that beating, he knew he would come back stronger and better. So the same thing when he made his announcement. So that whole after his high school career at Lower Merion, during that process through the season, though he's in the gym with us after, you know, training and stuff and working out, and then people asking like, what you going to do? And he kept quiet. I don't know. I'm probably going to college. I don't know this, that. But as being a gym, I knew what he was going to do. He had to look, and I'm looking at him like, come on, man. You know, he's like, yeah, but don't tell nobody. So, you know what I mean? Like, I knew what he was going to do. So at that moment, I knew he was going to thrive because I knew he was going to thrive in a situation where he knew at first it was going to be a challenge. He knew at first he was going to get a teeth kicked in, but he knew the outcome of that. He enjoyed the competitive nature of getting beat up, of getting pummeled and not having things go his way, because he knew at the end of that, once he come up on the other side, he'd be much better for it.
What'd you make of the conversation, Mark, that was had during Kobe's playing career that he wasn't Philly?
Well, that's that, but I know Philly. Anybody from Philly know Philly. You know, we have some hateration in us. You know what I mean? So because he went to Lower Merion, he didn't go to a Philadelphia public school, he said, oh, he ain't Philly, he went to Lower Merion. Yeah, okay. So we knew that's how people thought. He knew that. That didn't bother him. It just fueled more fire in him because he knew like who he was and what he was going to do. So he didn't care what people said, but that's how it works. That's how Philly works. Like me going to Roman Catholic, oh, he ain't from Philly. He went to a Catholic school. Come on, man. Out of there with all that crap. that's what people do. And he didn't mind that. It was just more fuel for him.
It doesn't get any more Philly than Roman Catholic, Mark.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know, but some people say it ain't Philadelphia public school, so it ain't Philly. But you know how people are. They find to pick and choose.
Yeah. Mark, I, again, man, I can't thank you enough for coming on. I know yesterday had to be extremely difficult for you and your close friends, really, with the Bryant family. And Just thanks again, man. I really appreciate it.
No problem, fellas. No problem.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark Jackson. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. That's Mark Jackson joining us right there. NBC Sports Philadelphia. Sixers pre- and post-game analyst. Temple Owl, former Sixer himself. It really is, when you listen to Mark talk about the Bryant family, it really was a definition of Philadelphia basketball.
Oh, my God. Joe's brother-in-law was Chubby Cox.
That's who I was thinking of.
It was funny. You said it earlier, and I wrote it in my notes. I knew who you meant. But, yeah, who played at Villanova, later transferred, went to San Francisco. But, again, you put names out in the atmosphere, they all fall into the same pot when it's Philadelphia basketball. And Kobe's right there in the middle of it, no matter what you want to think.
It really is. 610-632-0975. We got Mike. Oh, Mike and Del Rey. We got Mitch and East Windsor. Open lines after that, 610-632-0975. Coming up, I'll let you know a personal story of when I met Kobe Bryant and and also, we'll let you hear once again from Vince Carter, because I can't play that enough. Time of the Fanatic is 9:25.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I told the story earlier. Last March, I had the opportunity to go to Andrew Hamilton Middle School in West Philadelphia. It's right by Overbrook. And Kobe was there, and he was talking to the kids. And I was listening to his speech, and he was also doing a little Q&A. He was introduced by a former teammate of his from Lower Marion. And it was a really interesting thing, because he really talked to the kids about embracing failure and not fearing failure and opening yourself up to that vulnerability. Mm-hmm. Was what he got into. And Trey, I'm sure you've seen some of these as well. And Bob, I mean, we've all been around long enough where we've seen athletes address kids. And it's like, oh, wrong message. Stop. Yep, you're going off the rail. Knock it off. And Kobe was just straight down the middle, shot the kid straight, and was like, "You, it's okay to be afraid. You just about how you challenge yourself in that moment." Where some people might turtle up and be afraid of the moment and not capitalize on what the opportunity is in that fearful moment. Because if you conquer fear, you could do something great. And that was kind of the light at the end of the tunnel that he gave the kids. It was along the lines of, yeah, have that fear, but use it as motivation. And I thought it was a great message. And afterwards, he talked about how he addressed the media, and he talked about how he bumped into Nick Foles. I think he was in California when he said it. And here he is recounting that. This is from a moment back in last March, talking about when he bumped into Nick Foles after the Super Bowl.
I am sad to see Nick Foles. I just saw him 2 weeks ago out by me in Newport Beach. We had a chance to talk a little bit and thanked him for everything that he did. He came up to me. It's funny. He goes, "Hey, Kobe, it's good to see you. I'm Nick Foles." I'm like, "Foles, I know who you are."
Nick Foles, first off, was humble enough to introduce himself to Kobe Bryant, who is, by the way, freaking out on his sofa watching the Eagles win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I think for a lot of Philadelphia sports fans, that was a moment where you almost forgot about the cutting your heart out moment. And you go, "Oh, he's just like us. Mm-hmm. He's rooting for the Eagles. He addressed the team before they won the Super Bowl." He had a moment like that his wife put out on social media of him celebrating the Eagles Super Bowl win after Tom Brady threw the incompletion in the end zone to end the game. Hail Mary incompletion. But then he talked about Ben Simmons' jump shot and developing that to expand his game. And I'm listening to Kobe, because I asked him about the jump shot and all that. And really, even before the media session, he shook every member of the media's hand and was just very gracious with his time. And he could not have been better about it. And he said, "Look," and I'm listening to him talk about Ben Simmons expand his game, and I'm looking at Kobe Bryant, a guy that expanded his game tremendously from when he came into the league. Bob, you were talking about the slasher that entered the NBA, the guy that really was able to get to the rim on a crossover dribble, behind the back, spin move, whatever it might be, to get to the rim. And then he became a guy that could sink that jump shot. He became a guy that could use that fadeaway jumper, became a guy to lead the Lakers in three-pointers. Like, what he was able to do as a professional over those 20 years, he was a far different player from the player that entered the league. And I'm not, 19 to, 38. That was a guy that changed his game tremendously. Not a guy that just became a man, but refined his game.
And it goes back to what Darryl Reynolds said. If you dig into it deeper, he said he was a lifelong learner. And that's where your fiercest competitors are. Your learning means you're putting yourself out there to try to get better in everything that you do. Well, that was the competitive nature of Kobe. And if it wasn't getting better and beating opponents, it was getting better by beating himself, getting better at something. Like I said to you earlier, I had a friend that was in the league for many, many years that texted me last night. We were going back and forth. He said, man, that kid really transformed his game. Never saw anyone work harder. Went from a slasher to a deadly outside shooter. And, you know, that's where the greats are. And Trey, you've been around unbelievable athletes, the greatest athletes in the world, but they don't get to that Kobe Bryant, LeBron James level unless they have the mental attitude also. And Kobe certainly had that.
Absolutely, because that's what it's all about. You know, every time you talk to an athlete, it's all about having that mentality to push yourself and also to be able to, you got to challenge yourself and also to be able to critique yourself, be able to study yourself. Study the game. It's one of the things that I talk to my son about a lot of the times, like making sure that you have that mindset of just trying to push yourself to be the best. Be aggressive. Don't be afraid. Even with the speech that he gave, don't be afraid to make mistakes. Embrace that fear. I think that is an awesome message to give these kids, because a lot of times kids don't even try something because they're afraid of what their peers will say to them.
Right. You never know until you try.
Exactly.
Mike and Del Rand. Hey, man, I saw you tweeting. What's going on, brother?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
So yesterday at 1:15, you know, I coached my stepson's basketball team, 14-year-old boys, and game started at 1:15, and, you know, as the game went on, the officiating was kind of poor, and I lost my cool, you know. I got teed up, you know. Guys are getting paid. I'm a volunteer. It's ridiculous. We're not the same. You know, I was really losing my stuff because, I go to bathroom kids because they work really hard, and, you know, we lose the game. I get home, and I see that the first tag or the first Facebook post for somebody, and I didn't believe it. You try to go on TMZ, and the site's crashing, right? For a while there, Twitter crashed. And it's just when you realize that it was true, it was just heartbreaking. You know, it's a shame that it takes tragedy for you to appreciate the life that you have and the job you have and the people you have. And, you know, it's just messed up, man.
Yeah, it's tough.
I hear you, Mike.
You know what? My heart goes out to them, to everyone that was involved. I hated Kobe Bryant. I hated him. I hated losing to him. I hated that Allen Iverson wasn't enough for us to beat them. But, you know, when I saw that video of him celebrating the Eagles' victory, he's one of us. And, God bless everybody, and I hope you guys have a great day. Go Bears!
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it, man. Mitch in East Windsor, what's up, bud?
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Mitch.
Mark, I wonder if you spoke to Kobe in Italian. I mean, the guy knew five languages.
No, I didn't. I thought about it, but he would probably go leaps and bounds over my head.
Yeah, I guess it's meeting somebody famous, and especially more for us common people than you. And you have more opportunities there, but he's a role model for so many walks of life. His attitude, everybody could take a piece of that, and I think he was a better, seemed like to be a great father, and he was probably going to make a lot of money off the court. He had a great attitude. I was so sad, I think they should retire both his numbers, 8 and 24.
Throughout the NBA?
And wouldn't if the pilot, wouldn't they have checked the weather report, the fog? I know it's
That'll
come out later.
All that stuff's still under investigation, but the number one thing that's come out is why fly when there was reportedly heavy fog out there. There's a lot of questions that are going to continue to be asked until they're finally answered. And, I mean, you're talking about and this is not a criticism. I understand they have to do their job. But the LA County Sheriff's Department isn't even announcing. I've just seen reports. I haven't seen an official announcement. And even as of yesterday, while NBA teams are memorializing Kobe Bryant, the Sheriff's Department is not even announcing who was in the accident or who was in the crash.
Right. I thought it was fake news, but I heard TMZ, they're in trouble. They broadcast before you announce, get in touch with the families.
Yeah, Mitch, you're right. And they mentioned that during the press conference yesterday, and thanks for the call, but are they in trouble if they were right?
It's insensitive.
It's insensitive, yeah.
No, it's not legal worthy, no.
610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Coming up in a little bit, we'll get a little bit more into everything with Kobe. We'll also let you hear a little bit more from around the league, including Greg Popovich, who I thought summed it up rather well yesterday after the Spurs game. Time of the Fanatic is 9:41.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All good, brother.
That sucked.
No.
Just push it through, man.
Go to work, as Kobe would say.
Yeah, just gotta go. You just gotta keep grinding.
Just drop it and keep working.
Yeah. There are days, like, it's just so crazy. Everything changes. And the smallest scale of all this is, you know, Saturday night Sixers win. It's a historic game because of LeBron James. It's a great win for Sixers in their season, right? Kobe reaches out to LeBron on Twitter afterwards to congratulate him. Kobe knew that when he was announcing his retirement, his first road game was Philadelphia. And that's incredible.
Yeah.
And then the last game that he really acknowledges in social media is a game in Philadelphia because of LeBron, but nonetheless, this is the way the universe played it out. And then also his second to last interaction on Twitter was that of a Allen Iverson video.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild, the connections to Philadelphia throughout. And look, it's gonna the fact that he's from here, it just makes it more, I don't know, it just crazy. Just absolutely crazy is the only way
to
describe it.
Man, I have to be real with you, man. What's everything that in me did not want that record to be broken on our court.
Oh, I was watching Matisse Thybulle Saturday, and I was going, oh, watch Matisse hold him to 17,
yeah.
Right? You can only tie. You can't pass.
Yeah.
But it happened.
Yeah.
See, the only reason for me it was a perfect scenario was because he did it. The Sixers won, and it let the rest of the country, because we're still fighting this stupid battle, see what good fans Philadelphians are, mm-hmm. in that they stood up and gave him a standing ovation.
Yeah, that's cool. I still didn't want it to happen on our court.
I hear you.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what? Because Matisse picked LeBron James's pocket,
yeah.
early in the game, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh, watch this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then it just wasn't meant to be, and now in retrospect, it's just wild that it was a game like that. First off, that it happened before, and you could see Kobe championing the cause for the league to continue, basically building greatness.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy how it all played out. We mentioned Greg Popovich earlier in the show, and we let you hear from him about after the Spurs game last night. Here he is again, Greg Popovich, following yesterday's Spurs loss. Kind of started off this soundbite with what we were all thinking.
Good game, tough loss. Who cares? Most importantly, appreciate you all letting the locker room be tonight. Everybody's pretty emotional about the tragedy with Kobe, and all of us know what a great player he was, but he went beyond great playing. He was a competitor that goes unmatched, and it's what made him as a player so attractive to everybody, that focus, that competitiveness, that will to win. And even more importantly than that, we all feel a deep sense of loss for what he meant to all of us in so many ways, and so many millions of people loved him for so many different reasons.
Yeah, it was tough to listen to a lot of that stuff yesterday, and then you just tried to sit in the moment that he really helped a lot of people in the league, and not just on the court, but off the court as well. He was very helpful in all of it. TJ in Philly, what's up, man?
Yo, yo, good morning, fellas.
Hey, man.
Good morning. It's a little rough, obviously. The world knows that. Y'all know that. First, let me start off by saying I enjoy the show. I really, really appreciate everything y'all do every morning, every night. And for you guys to come on here today, last night, you know, in this time of grief, it's just, it's amazing because I called out of work. I wow. couldn't do it today. But real quick, I was fortunate enough to, you know, grow up in Philly. When I was 14, 15, I moved to Wayne, PA. That's up in Villanova, you know. So in Lander, you know, we had the biggest rivalry with LM. Kind of getting shipped up while talking about this. Mm-hmm. 1 year while I was in high school playing football in 2011. Yeah, I graduated 2012. Kobe came to the football game. That was my first time ever seeing Kobe. I haven't, you know, got to speak to him or anything. Unfortunately, Randall lost that game. LM won. But after the game, you know, but right after, you know, the crowd dispersed off the field, Kobe's just still there talking to a bunch of kids. I was kind of nervous to go over there, but I could only imagine the great things that he was saying. Now, coming from Philly, you know, it's really, truly an honor to play in the same league as Kobe did as in high school. Because not a lot of kids will know, you know what I mean? Everybody say that, oh, well, he's from Long Marion. Well, he's not from Philly or he's not from this. But besides all that, just playing in the same atmosphere as him, maybe like 15, 20 years down the line, I guess. I don't know. It was just unreal. And just to see him come back, he gave the basketball team new sneakers, new warm-up jackets every year. I went to Rainer all 4 years of high school. And every year, LM has some crazy stuff on. I'm talking about shoes, the warm-ups, headbands. I'm not going to lie, I was jealous, but that just shows you, like, the type of character that Kobe is. You know what I mean? Even though all athletes, I would like to think all athletes will go back to the school and help out their communities and stuff, but Kobe was something different. Like, growing up, being, like, eight, like, you know, from being, like, maybe, like, 4 to 12, you know, you got the rivalry between AI and Kobe. I'm not going to say like I hated him, but he got on my damn nerves. He got on my nerves.
Well, you were if he did it, you weren't a real Philly fan. I mean, that's right. How it was back in the day. And TJ, thanks for the call, man, and sharing all that. That's wild. But that's, I mean, look, that's how we were built. And then when the cut your heart out comment, we all kind of, oh, come on, Kobe, you're supposed to be one of us. And that's what really, you know, got to a lot of us. But I don't
he
think
he knew. He knew we would hate that.
Yeah.
And that's the type of competitor he was.
He knew it would ninja our brains.
Yeah.
So point him
and
again.
And respect, you know?
I mean, that's the thing. I never didn't respect the guy.
No, I don't think anybody didn't.
And yeah, when he celebrated like we did with the Eagles Super Bowl championship, a lot of people
one
were tweeting me yesterday.
Us.
Yeah,
one of us.
More or less. Sam, what? We didn't do a Twitter poll today, but if we did, who brought us that fine Twitter poll?
Window Nation, take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows, plus make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Sam, what is your takeaway of the day?
I still don't really have words on the whole situation. It's just heartbreaking, but my sincerest thoughts and prayers go out to the families of everybody involved.
Jamie Lynch?
Hug your loved ones today.
Bobby?
Take nothing for granted.
Yeah, on a sad day, let's end with something a little happy. Sam, congratulations on your engagement this week.
Thanks,
absolutely.
Guys.
Sam, hey, engaged.
Samantha.
Trey?
Hey, man, no one knows the day or hour, so make sure you always embrace your loved ones.
To Kobe Bryant, Gianna Bryant, to the Altobelli family, the Chester family, Ara Zobian, who was flying the helicopter, and to the Mouser family, our thoughts and prayers are with everyone involved and all of their families as well. Stay tuned for the Anthony Gargano Show. Larry Brown will be a guest here on 97.5.
As well as Jerry Colangelo.
Jerry Colangelo. Cool. Very nice. Time of the Fanatic, 9:55.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.